Today's episode of the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling is dedicated to the life and the memory and the legacy of Jay Briscoe.
Presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Reach for the sky, boy.
welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me is a returning guest, of course. You may know him from The Ringer or The Way of the Blade book or The Way of the Blade, the podcast. He is, of course, the legendary Phil Schneider. Phil, welcome back. How you doing?
Oh, it's great to be back with you, John. Doing good.
Obviously, you know, it's under a little bit different circumstances this time around because we're honoring Jay Briscoe today on this episode. So it's a little bit of a Jay Briscoe tribute episode. RIP to Jay, just awful, awful tragedy. Just shocked to have heard the news. A great guy. And obviously we'll get into what a great wrestler he was. But man, what did you think when you heard the news? I mean, I was floored. Pretty, what a gut punch.
Pretty devastating. And, you know, it's tough, man. I got little kids now and just that part of it, right? Where the guy was a father and, you know, he's leaving, you know, these little, the kids got hurt and he's got, you know, the family man part of it really, really, you know, hit me in the way that, you know, when you're a callow single person, that this stuff doesn't punch you in the same way, right? And you know, it's a thing like a car accident. Everybody's driven, you know, over their lives has been in near misses or accidents. And I mean, that's just part of it. And you think, oh man, of all the times that you were, something almost happened to you. And so, yeah, it hit me pretty hard, especially just, you know, he was such a big part of 2022, right? Like, you know, he was a guy who was sort of, I mean, for a guy who wrestled a really, really long time, when we're talking about his career a little bit, was really almost like peaking in the last year with that series of matches against FTR. It's like he was such a vibrant part of current wrestling, and, you know, really maybe more relevant than he'd ever been. So it was a tough one.
Man, what a gut punch. That was just gut-wrenching. And then hear about the kids, it's like, oh, what an awful, awful story. Just absolutely shocking. And you're right, because 2022 was Supercard of Honor, Death Before Dishonor, and Final Battle, that trio, or whatever you want to call them, the series of three matches against FTR. I mean, they were on the, you know, the cusp of probably not being on TV because of the whole Warner Brothers thing. I mean, or Warner Brothers Discovery thing. We don't have to get into that too much, but it's one of the things where it's like everybody was talking about those matches and everybody was seeking them out because, man, one was better than the other and all three were fantastic.
Yeah, and, you know, that last, you know, handful of years in ROH was kind of a weird promotion. You know, I don't think people weren't really checking for it as much, right? So they were kind of existing in this world that, especially after, you know, the elite guys left ROH, I think it was a little bit of a zombie promotion in a lot of ways, and the Briscoes were still there and still doing their thing. But I don't think they weren't as part of the zeitgeist as much as they really were over the last year. And although there's was been some fun later period Briscoe stuff, their match on the farm against each other was probably the best cinematic wrestling match ever. That's a style of match I don't particularly like, but I really enjoyed that. And yes, they were still part of it a little bit, but this really felt like, oh man, these guys are really going to be a huge part of whatever Tony Khan does with ROH. And, you know, just tough. And then obviously the more sad than just the wrestling man part of it, just, you know, a guy with a father and family man and seemingly, I never had any direct personal interaction with him, but seemingly a lovely guy that people really had a lot of fondness for or worked with him.
I always love to go back and check my messages and stuff because I'm like, I know I've talked to I've interviewed the Briscoes before a while back, but I was like, I want to know what the interaction was because I just remember them being like the nicest guys. Going back, I'm not obviously going to divulge the information, but going back and reading stuff, it's like, man, like kind of like quirky, but in like in a cool way, almost like Steiner Brothers esque a little bit, like where they're like he's like a little crazy, but not like such a nice guy. What a cool guy! I was just reading some of the messages, like kind of laughing to myself. I was like, wow, he's like quirky but funny but cool but like tough. It's like a weird like combination of a character. It was like, so what a cool guy! It's like just reading back some of the stuff that he said to me. I was like, wow, what a nice guy, but like really like fun. Just, I don't know, just exemplified, like, to me, somebody that I would like want to have a beer with.
And we were posting a lot on Twitter. People were posting up all those Jay Briscoe promos, and a lot of those, yeah, I hadn't seen before. And man, so he was, you know, some of those are really great. I mean, the one with that Matt Hardy posted about where, you know, Matt Hardy is futzing around with the edge trimmer on the lawn, and then Jay just does this like absolutely like artistic job of single-handed edging this lawn and then just stares in the camera. I was just like, man, that's the, you know, that's, I don't know, top 25, top 30 all-time wrestling pro. We didn't say a word. Some of those other ones too, and the sort of interactions with him and Mark were really, they really developed. You know, like when we started watching the Briscoes, they were two kind of kids, shaved head, looked a lot alike, and they were. I don't really think of them as great like wrestling characters in 2003, right? But over the course of his career, he really evolved into like an all-time great wrestling character. In addition to being an all-time great wrestler, right? Like, he's not only one of the more talented in-ring guys in of his era, but also, he's like Jimmy Valiant almost.
So cool. Like just the way that they're able to just be themselves, but be such like over the top with it, like such great wrestling characters, almost old school to the bone to a certain extent. Like you're saying, like a Jimmy Valiant or even like a Rick Steiner type, like just a very over the top version of themselves. So it's so true to them. And it's just so funny. It's like they're on the chicken farm. They're cutting funny promos. He's going, Terry Funk don't wear no mouthpiece. Bruiser Brody don't wear no mouthpiece. I mean, just funny stuff that he just say off the cuff. But it's like, man, that's wrestling to me. And the characters that I always connect with, I was like, man, this guy's over the top, but that's him. He's Briscoe. You know what I mean? That's him.
The greatest wrestling character is always some sort of person who's 10% more, but themselves, right? Yeah. Like I'm Jay Briscoe. Jay Briscoe is just Jay Briscoe turned up to 11, right? Like Rick, Scott Steiner turned up to 11, right? Ric Flair turned up to 11. That's always the best, rather than somebody who's kind of like pigeonholed into something weird or strange that are not like them, right? You can always kind of tell when somebody's taking acting classes and when somebody's just riffing and being themselves. It's always way better.
So the first time I saw them wrestle was 2003, Death Before Dishonor. It was them going after the tag titles with AJ and Amazing Red was on the other team. Obviously, him and his brother Mark. Man, I was like, these guys, like you said, didn't develop into characters, but they were such good wrestlers at this point. And I'm like, wait, how old are they? 19 and 18? I was like, man, my God, they're so young at this point in 03. It's like they're like little babies, but they're awesome. And you just kind of grew to like them even more. When's the first time you saw them?
So first time I saw them was the 2001 Best of the Best in CZW.
So, wow, that would have been 17, May, 16 at that point.
Yeah, this has been May 2001. So they were both, and this was a show I went to live. And I remember going into it, wanting to go to it live because it had Minoru Fujita and Winger and Juventud Guerrero were all on that show. So it's like this kind of cool group of like international guys.
Yeah.
And so we kind of did the road trip down to New Jersey. I was in DC at that point. My buddy Tom Kay and I met Rob Naylor there. But I think Rob Naylor, another like longtime wrestling guy,
I was just talking to him yesterday. Yeah.
So that was the first time I'd ever met Rob. He's a good friend of mine now. So we all were at the show and it was just like they had a match against each other. There was a three-way with them and Nick Mondo was the first round. The first round of this Best of the Best were all three-ways for some reason. And then they had a three-way with Nick Mondo, and then they had a match against each other that was like a real show stealer. Where it was like, this was the thing that everybody is going to remember from this show, where they started out working almost exclusively on the mat. And it was all this really cool mat wrestling. I remember starting a holy shit chant from like a takedown. Here's something like that where it's like just because these guys just, and then they obviously escalated into crazy stuff after crazy stuff, move after crazy move. And I actually remember that I was standing next to the Briscoe's mom and she was like nervously grabbed my shoulder like during the point where they were like putting each other through a table or doing some crazy spot with chairs. And so it really was cool. It was like these two guys who maybe you'd heard the name, but they hadn't really broken out yet. And they had the thing where it's like, these are the guys that everyone's talking about at the end of the show, not guys like Trent Acid or, Johnny Cashmere were the big stars of CW at that point, not Juventud Guerrero or Fujita or Winger, who were the big international guys. It was these two, kids from Delaware. They were the stars of the show.
And with and the show I was
talking to them, you know, after that, for sure, you know, I think I, you know, I was, that was a real like glory period for indie, being an indie wrestling fan, right? You, you know, even the pre-ROH period where you had like JPW, you know, having these great stuff and all of these, CZW having a bunch of really talented people. And you had this whole like generation of really young kids. So Briscoes, the SATs in Red, Homicide, Low-Key, Xavier, all of these guys just going on these shows in the Northeast and like every weekend. And you'd find somebody who had the tape, who could send you the tape of this happening in ICW or this happening in USA Pro or this happening in JPW. We're just like, holy hell, this is this, you know, real generation of super talented kids really coming up. And the Briscoes were a big part of that.
Big time. And I remember thinking, because Jeff Hardy was on the show that I was at, I was like, oh, see, he was, maybe he was Will-O-The-Wisp or whatever, got booed out of the building. But it's just funny to think, like, I think they thought he was going to be like the big star coming to the show. Like, nope, it was Joe, it was Punk, it was the Briscoes. Like, those were the guys that the crowd was really into.
Right. Yeah. And I'm obviously, this was a long time ago. I'm trying to remember, I'm pretty sure I was at the first ROH show.
Oh, Murphy Wreck.
The first one. Yeah. Where it had Red and versus Amazing Red versus Jay. Yep. And then Mark was at that point too young to wrestle in Philadelphia because of, yep, he was at a certain age. I think he was still 17 or something. And then Jay was 18 or 19. So I was like that very first, and that, you know, those, that was a, like an undercard match, but like one where you're like, holy moly, these guys really blew it out. And then obviously I'd been checking for those guys because I'd seen the Briscoes, I'd seen Amazing Red before, sort of leading up to that on tape, and I think it's Amazing Red live a couple times.
Absolutely. It's interesting. That's technically the first match ever in Ring of Honor history, because the match that was before it, Gabe like wiped it off the history of Ring of Honor, so like that match didn't exist. So technically, Amazing Red versus Jay Briscoe is the first ever match.
Was the first one Hit Squad versus Christopher Street Connection? Is that like the
something
first
like that? But it was, it might, I know it was the Hit Squad, and I thought it was Christopher Street Connection, but there might have been somebody else in that match. But it was so bad, according to Gabe, that I guess it never made it anywhere. They must have like got rid of it, because when you first watch Ring of Honor, the first match is Briscoe versus Red, so you're like, oh,
yeah. I think it was also like, you know, that certainly, I think if I remember correctly, you know, it was the Christopher Street Connection was sort of very over the top, yes, gay act, and yeah, and that was, and there were, and then it was like a bunch of like scumbag Philly fans chanting "Kill the Homo" or something like that. I mean, like, I think that might have been part of it. Like, it might have just been like, if this match wasn't that great, but it was like, ah, you don't really want this to be the historical start of your promotion. Although I remember like Christopher Street Connection were like some JPW guys I really enjoyed. They got one of them was really stiff. It's so, like, over that period, I was like, oh, this act's pretty good. These guys are doing an exotic act, but this one guy is going to like throw crowbar clotheslines too. So it's not necessarily, it kind of works, although I don't think it really worked for what ROH was trying to do.
When you look at it with Jay versus Mark, I always thought, especially early on, because obviously eventually they'll just team and they wouldn't really fight, except for really the fight at the compound there in Delaware at the farm. They didn't really have too many one-on-one matches.
I looked that up because I reviewed one for The Ringer. I did a sort of a five best, or not five best, it was like five sort of hidden Jay gems is the idea. Like, these are some matches that are a little less known, but really great. So I did I looked at, they had a match against each other in NWA Wildside down in Cornelia, Georgia, where they kind of came down on the undercard of one of the big shows there as like basically unknowns, and then kind of did their match against each other and had a really killer match. It was something ROH returned to a handful of times. When Jay held the title, he defended it against Mark, like 2012 or 2013. I remember I looked these all up because I wanted to see if Mark ever won. Because, you know, like the ones I always remember, it was always like Jay pulling it out. He pulled out the
right. Yeah, it wasn't so much.
So they maybe wrestled seven times, and I think Jay won four, Mark won two, and there was a couple of draws, maybe eight times. So it wasn't a lot, but it was a lot. It was early in their careers. It was like sort of a showcase thing. It was their resume was they would work their match against each other, right? That's how they introduced themselves to people in Wildside and CZW. There's a match. Did you ever see their match in Delaware for Hellaware Championship Wrestling?
No.
It's on YouTube. It's, I would say it's worth watching. It is, I think the story, there's no story in it. They showed up at this like almost backyardish Delaware garbage wrestling promotion. And then they work like a brawl against each other that is some of like the most violent brawling you'll ever see in wrestling. I mean, they were just absolutely just obliterating each other with chair shots in ways that you were just like, this is bad. You shouldn't do this. I was thinking about, oh, maybe I should write up this match in Delaware. And I was like, ah, this isn't really a tribute. And at some point, like Jay takes a chair and like opens up Mark's head in like a really, really, like a really nasty gash. He's just bleeding all over the ring. So that's one of their more memorable matches against each other. Probably worth checking out. Like I said, it's on YouTube. Folks can watch it. I think the real Seccos would enjoy it. Obviously, that was a big part of the Briscoes too, right? One of the things doing the column I did, I went back and I watched a bunch of stuff, you know, to prep for it. And, you know, the versatility of those guys. I mean, that was what really sort of really jumped out at me when I was watching it, is that they could do this kind of like against each other, kind of like a map-based match. The Wild Side one was really a lot of grappling. They could do, you know, gory blood stuff, right? They could do these huge brawls. There's one of the matches I wrote about was this great match again from FIP in Florida against Necro Butcher and Madman Pondo. It's just, you know, like a wild Necro Butcher Madman Pondo match. And the Briscoes are, you know, they're absolutely at home at that, or something like the dog collar match against FTR. And then they can do, they were incredible at that kind of Young Bucks, Mira Fuji, Kenta, like high spot, tightrope wrestling kind of thing, where it's like, you know, the very complicated moves and reversals and, you know, near falls and that kind of super athletic stuff. They could do that as good as anyone. They could work traditional Southern tag, where it's just like, they're the baby faces and they're working towards a hot tag. There's a match with Chris Hero and Claudio from Toronto that is basically like, that match would have worked just as well in the Mid-South Coliseum in 1984, right? And they could be the faces on that, or they could do the heel part of that. It was, you know, just watching, it was like, man, these guys can, there's not a style that these guys couldn't work at a super high level, right? You don't usually see people who can do all of those things. Maybe they can do one of them or two of them or something like that. But I mean, these Briscoes, you could just, you know, put them in any role in a wrestling match. Jay was a great dominant champion when he held the ROH world title in 2014 to 2015, right? Like a great ace champion. There's another one of the matches I reviewed was a Samoa Joe match, where not the Samoa Joe match that you got to remember, the one where Joe, you know, kicks Jay's head off and he bleeds all over the cage, but one that was like way later. It was at a Super Card of Honor in like 2015, and Joe was coming right off his TNA run, and Jay was the world champion. And it was like watching, you know, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, Terry Gordy or something like that. Just like two big boys pounding on each other in a real way. And it's like, man, he could, you know, what colors did he not have in his palette? It seems like he had all of them.
So versatile. You're right. Definitely.
I think people, like, you know, don't necessarily, when they think of the Briscoes, they think of, you know, they probably don't think of all the different things that they could do. But I mean, you know, those guys, you know, the Warner Brothers thing is a shame, because I think the idea was initially that the Briscoes were going to be part of AEW from the beginning. I think that was something that came up with, you know, like that was something the Bucks wanted them from the start. And man, they would have been a real value add to any promotion that's trying to start out, just because those guys could do anything and you could put them in any spot against any pair of people and they could, you know, deliver.
Yeah. They Bucks just had, I guess they were really taping BTE or whatever, filming themselves, but they said, they told Tony, the original idea for the tag division is the three brothers, the teams, the Lucha Brothers, the Bucks and the Briscoes, and we'll carry tag team wrestling for, you know, AEW, and really for tag team wrestling, period, because WWE doesn't do too much or at that point didn't, but really that was an idea. I was like, wow, that would have been amazing. Briscoes versus, you know, the Bucks all over again. They feud obviously in ROH, but that would have been awesome. Them against the Lucha Brothers in AEW would have been awesome to have them in there.
Yeah. I don't think they ever had a one-on-one tag with the Lucha Brothers. They worked. It was like Lucha Brothers and I think it was Lucha Brothers in LA Park against Rush and the Briscoes, or it might've been the Briscoes in LA Park versus Rush and the Lucha Brothers. It was some combination of those six guys worked in Arena Mexico match. That's really great. Also on YouTube, also worth checking out. I considered actually writing about that. I was like on my long list of matches because it's just like really a really cool atmosphere, and you know. But you know, the thing about LA Park Rush is when they wrestle each other, they're the story. Right? Like the Briscoes were a cool like second and third guy in a trios match having fun exchanges, but it's like it's hard to watch anybody but LA Park and Rush when LA Park and Rush are wrestling each other. So I was like, that isn't really a Briscoes match. It's really cool. But yeah, I think that I'm pretty sure that was their only interaction with the Lucha Brothers, and they would have done some pretty cool stuff with those guys for sure. I mean, there's no tag team over the last, you know, 20 years that you couldn't have imagined would have had a great match against the Briscoes. Briscoes Usos would be incredible if that ever ended up happening, right?
Yeah.
You know, all those big WWE teams would have all had great, you know, great matches against the Briscoes if those opportunities arose. You know, those guys are just so talented.
Yeah, for sure. And I was just thinking back to Honor Invades Boston, just going back to Mark versus Jay. I remember that match. I was shocked that Mark Briscoe won that match. He beat Jay. I think it was their first match in ROH together. And then when they had, I think it was the one-year anniversary show, Jay then beat Mark in an awesome match. So they were kind of like even back and forth, and then they kind of teamed them up together. But I was like, man, those matches are awesome, and especially given the fact how young they were, it's like, holy shit, they're pretty damn good at a pretty damn young age.
Yeah, I mean, even if you watch the stuff even earlier than the best of the best, I mean, you can watch their first handful of matches that they ever had it in the ring, you're like, oh man, these guys are really good at, and you know, like even younger than that, they're the ECW, there's an ECW gauntlet or something, which I think was their first match ever, that ECWA, which is a double promotion, just put up on YouTube, and you watch that, and you're like, oh, these guys are pretty great at even an even younger age, like not like, you know, Mark at 16 and Jay at 17, right? Like, and you know, just starting out, I don't think they have really had any training. Like they weren't trained by anybody. They were kind of trained themselves.
Right. I think they were
a little bit in the ECWA school, and like Glenn Osborne, who I think was the ECWA trainer at that point, was just like, I can't show these kids anything. Like he said, I just put them on the show. I don't really have anything to teach them at this point. They're already the ring in the backyard did the job. I don't, like, Glenn Osborne's got no notes. Like, so I think that was kind of the story. It was like they were pretty much fully formed from, I'm assuming, wrestling each other, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times on the chicken farm before they ever went to an actual ring. And they, when they got there, I mean, real prodigies.
Yeah, almost like savants with wrestling. Like they weren't trained by anybody, but they're awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't usually see that, right? You don't usually see, you know, usually people require, you know, there are holes in the games of people who come up that way. Right? Like come up that way and they can do maybe some, you know, cool stuff, but you usually need to get in there and have somebody show you how to do the basics. You know, so a lot of wrestlers self-trained me thinking, man, there's seven moves that look incredible. But they don't really understand how to have a wrestling match, right? Like, you know, they don't really know how to do a headlock takeover. They don't really know how to throw a good-looking punch. They don't really know how to build to moments. They just do them. Whereas the Briscoes is like, you know, they came in pretty fully formed with all that stuff where they can, you know, their basics looked really good. Like I said, their CZW best of the last match, first 6 minutes of that were just those guys doing pretty basic counter mat wrestling, takedowns, reversals, headlocks, head scissors, simple stuff. But and you'd watch and go, man, look at that takedown. What a great takedown, right? Like, man, that's a really tight side headlock. That's really great looking. And that, you know, is something that I think they did really well from almost the start when most wrestlers, you know, especially ones came from, you know, self-trained like that. They don't have that basic stuff.
See, I love talking to you about some of these guys, especially Jay Briscoe, because then now I'm going to be like, oh shit, I got to go look at YouTube. I got to check out the Arena Mexico match. I got to check out that Delaware match. You always have these matches. Even I remember Way of the Blade reading it, like, the hell's that awesome guy's name? Iceberg. It's like he was in this awesome War Games match. I'm like, oh, I was like, now I got to check this out. I was like, oh my God. So you always have those matches, which is great.
That's, you know, the thing. That's my value add to the wrestling world, right? Like, it is, you know, I the Ringer stuff, a lot of that is gonna be just writing like what did I think of the best match on Raw, but I also always try to say, you know, it was also really cool, this thing that's, you know, that people don't know about, or you know, I want to, we're gonna write about, dog collar matches. I'm going to find this dog collar match Puerto Rico, or I'm going to find this other match. I let you guys know the, you know, because that's a cool, one of the cool things about being a wrestling fan is you can be as big a freak as I am, and still there's thousands of great matches that you've never seen before. I mean, a lot of this Briscoe stuff I had never seen before. Like a lot of the matches that I wrote up on the Ringer, it was the first time I'd ever seen them. I think three of the five were like just stuff that I found sort of looking around. I had never seen the Samoa Joe match before. I didn't even really know what happened because like 2015, they said it was like a period where I wasn't really checking ROH. I was like, I didn't know this guy had a match 2015. I wonder if that's any good. And then I watched, I was like, holy shit, this is great. And the one in Toronto between the Briscoes and Hiro and Claudio, I remember as a match actually Hiro told me about years ago when I had just put the book out. And he was like, oh yeah, you know, because he was in, Chris Hiro was in a couple of the book matches in Way of the Blade. I was trying to get him the podcast and ended up ever connecting. But he was like, yeah, and I remember the match I bled the most, which was the match with the Briscoes in Toronto. That was pretty good. So then I remember like sort of filing that away. Oh, I should check that out. And then I was like doing this. I was like, oh yeah, that match from Toronto. I remember Chris Hiro told me about it. I was like, oh man, this is awesome. And the same one with I did an Austin Aries Kota Ibushi versus the Briscoes match. I was like, I didn't know that happened. I wasn't aware that that was a match that happened, and it's really good. Those guys, like a great example of those, you know, keeping up with these super athletic guys like Aries and Ibushi, you know, were like top level, you know, athletes in wrestling history. And the Briscoes are like, yeah, we can do that. We can work this, you know, super fast, complicated style with you and look just as good, just as skilled.
Do you have a favorite Jay Briscoe match?
Gosh, that's a good question. It might be the dog collar match. Honestly, like, you know, it's just basically his second to last match of his career, sadly. But I mean, that match really blew me away. And I've got some recency bias with these ones I just watched, right, which I really enjoyed. But I think it was the dog collar match. I think it was that FTR. I mean, I did a big piece for the Ringer where I sort of said it before that match happened over like where I ranked the best dog collar matches of all time. And, you know, like looking over that, the piece after that happened, I was like, this is no lower than two. And it might be number one, like with, you know, comparing it to Valentine, obviously Valentine Piper was number one, of course, right? It's a no brainer thing, but watching both those matches sort of really close to each other, I'm like, man, this Briscoe's FTR match might be better. Piper Valentine had kind of a shitty finish. I don't know if you don't remember that, because who remembers what the finish of that match was? But the finish of that match was basically just Piper kind of yanking Valentine off the top rope and like by the chain and then just pinning him. It was kind of that was okay. That wasn't like, you know, this incredible, you know, moment like the finish of the Briscoe's FTR match was. So I don't know, it's interesting. If you're ever looking for something to entertain yourself, comparing those two matches, all-time matches, like which one's good. So yeah, I think it was the dog collar match. And you know, like you could probably, there's probably 50 matches that are, you could make legitimate arguments, because obviously it's such a long career and so many opportunities to do cool things. I mean, that's one thing about, you know, about them never signing with the WWE, right? It's like they got to do their own, they got to paint all of the colors of the rainbow, which you wouldn't have done if you had gone to NXT in 2012 or something like that, right? Like they would have done some cool shit undoubtedly in the WWE, but it would have been very much one note in a way that instead they had a chance to do all this other stuff too.
It's almost good they had all that responsibility at the, you know, the chicken farm and stuff, because it's like, well, we're not traveling. We got, you know, we're still going to take care of the farm here. So we'll stay with ROH, you know, we'll do indies and we'll be ourselves. We don't have to do this corny.
Yeah. Nonsense. I mean, I think the combination of those Jay tweets, which were a long time ago, and also the fact that there wasn't in time when Confederate short, I think that they had some trouble. And, you know, I'm not defending either of those things, but I think there were, from the sense I got from people who knew Dave Briscoe, that he evolved past some of that stuff. And, you know, it would have been nice if he had a chance to get on TV. It's cool that Mark's going to be on Dynamite tomorrow. Yes. I mean, I'm glad that, you know, Tony Khan went ahead and said, let's know, you know, I'm going to put my foot down a little bit on this and kind of try to force the issue and get him on TV, get to do a tribute. And I think, you know, think whatever the pros and cons of Tony Khan are, you got to admire him for just, you know, being not would be willing to let that sort of sit. Right. And just say, look, now we're going to go ahead and, you know, I want this to happen.
Very good on him. Yeah, I was shocked to see it because I heard earlier in the day that it probably wouldn't happen. And then all of a sudden it happens. Like, wow, he really went to bat. Great job by Tony.
I mean, I saw the Meltzer clip of saying they're not going to let him on Dynamite 15 minutes before I saw the AEW clip of he's wrestling on Wednesday. Whereas, like, I mean, like, maybe not even 15 minutes. It really was like during the same Twitter scroll session where I was like, oh, shit, oh, cool. That's cool. You know. He should do I'm imagining him and Jay Lethal, those guys who've wrestled, Mark and Jay Lethal have wrestled each other a lot over the years. And I imagine that'll be really good. It's hard to, I imagine it's got to be pretty tough for Mark to sort of do this so soon after this has happened, right? It's been a week and he's going to be, you know, performing on national television. But again, those guys are pros. Those guys are savants. I have a lot of faith that he's going to be able to deliver something pretty special tomorrow night.
Definitely. Were you at Our Best back in 2004, big ROH show in New Jersey?
What was the man? I mean, you're going to have to give me a card. And then even then, I might not remember.
So Steamboat was on there as a referee for Punk and AJ for the Pure title. And the main event was the cage match we were talking about before, Joe versus Jay Briscoe.
Oh, no, I wasn't at
that one. Where Jay Briscoe was bleeding like crazy.
Yeah, I wasn't at that one. I would have remembered that cage match. Obviously, I watched it, you know, on tape. Were you at that one live?
Yes. Yep.
That was a wild one.
That was awesome.
And like I said, it was very cool that they had this match, you know, 11 years later, where the hierarchy was completely reversed. That was a cool early ROH story. It was the idea that Joe is having problems with the Briscoes in tag matches. Like he lost some tag matches to the Briscoes. And, you know, and it was like this idea of these specialists, right? Like they get them in tags, but if you got them all in a singles match, they would be in both of them. I think it's singles match at that point. And obviously that was Joe at his like, you know, peak destroyer phase. And he, man, and G Briscoe is a guy who will, you know, he's almost a Tommy Rich level bleeder.
And yes.
That was the moment where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, call the, you know, he took, that was a three aspirin night for him. And he had some other ones. I remember, do you remember the Age of the Fall debut?
Oh yeah. That blood when he was upside down. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like gutted him like a deer or something like that. He's blood all over Jimmy Jacobs. Gruesome. But you know, like feels like Jay Briscoe's the guy you call if we need to hang somebody upside down and have drip blood all over you.
Yeah, like, oh, like a disgusting amount. Yeah, for sure.
There was a lot of blood. And out of the five matches I reviewed, the Pondo Necro tag from FIP, which is on High Spots, if folks want to check that out, had a lot of blood in it, obviously, those four guys. And then the match in Toronto, Jay was also like really, really, both Jay and Mark did some pretty gruesome blade jobs in that. And here, all three of those guys. And I think Claudio bled a little bit, but like he bled like a little bit. And all three of those other guys bled a ton. There's a great spot in that match where Mark, a ton of the matches, bloody Mark getting worked over by the Kings of Wrestling and Jay being on the outside waiting for the hot tag. Classic wrestling storytelling. And then when Jay finally gets that hot tag, he comes in and he smashes Hero's head against the turnbuckle 30 times. And at some point around time 12 or 13, Hero blades. I didn't even really see him do it, but he starts bleeding. And by the end, he's like smashing his bloody head against the turnbuckle. It's like, yeah, that is a great hot tag. You know, what an amazing coming in and cleaning house moment that was. The match kept going. Another bunch of twists and turns, and Jay ends up bleeding a ton in that one too. But that guy was a vampire. And, you know, as like old school wrestling guys, you know, as ghouls, you got to appreciate a vampire.
Oh yeah,
didn't make Way of the Blade, which is obviously an oversight. Like, he's going to, you know, there'll be some Briscoes in Way of the Blade too, if that ever happens, for sure.
Yes, get them in there, definitely. With that match that are best, I always think of that as my favorite Jay Briscoe matches, because whenever I'm there and it's live, I don't know, I always rank it higher for whatever reason. I always like it even more. I mean, it's an awesome match. It might be one of his best, but I always ranked that as my favorite just because I was there for it. And he was bleeding buckets, and that was great. And it was just shocking. It's like, oh, shit.
Joe nearly kicked his head through the cage a couple times.
With those runs.
Trying to smash him like, you know, a cabbage through the steel cage. That whole storyline was really cool, like real smart. That was a real high point of game booking, where it's like you have this, you know, Joe kept losing these tags and getting more and more frustrated. And then they have these singles matches where it's like, well, you know, maybe the Briscoes have his number a little bit.
Yeah.
And then maybe not, which is how it ended up.
Very good, good booking there by Gabe. Good stuff. And it showed right then and there. It was like, wow, Jay Briscoe could be a future champion. Obviously, he'd become a future two-time ROH champion. He just kind of showed me there in 2004. I was like, man, he can make it to the next level and carry these guys if need be.
Yeah, I mean, he was the guy who could deliver. He delivered in singles matches. You know, you could do a 10 greatest Jay Briscoe singles matches. I think obviously he's tag wrestling is where he's in the past. I remember there's a great one early, very early in his career against Justice Payne at CZW for like the CZW world title. And this is like 18 year old Jay Briscoe that like ended up really, really sort of dramatic singles match. I was like, oh man, is he gonna beat Justice Payne? This is CZW. No way. And then he kind of, you know, obviously falls a little short, but you know, even that young, he was the guy who could had that sort of singles match resume. And then had like a very long ROH world title run. I mean, you know, it was had, you know, over the course of two, and then, but you know, like he got hurt and had to vacate the title. So he had
this
period where he was just like a, you know, really top singles wrestler that punished for a long time and very, very good at it. And, you know, it's a pretty memorable matches with Adam Cole and.
Yeah, the ladder war match is awesome. Yeah.
All that sort of crew. I think Adam Page gets a good Adam Page match. I mean, the Samoa Joe one, I think, is a real hidden gem. Have you ever seen that match, Sean?
I have not, actually. And it's funny because I was trying to keep up with ROH, or you know, trying to get back into it around that time period, but I did not see it. So I have to see that match for sure.
On YouTube. On YouTube, very easy to get to. On YouTube, linked in the, if you look at my Ring article, we got the link in there.
And very good. I'm checking that out.
Especially because you love the, if you love their, you know, their, it's 2004, the cage match so much. It's a very cool sort of, you know, bookend for that, right? Where it's like the same two guys years later, Jay's put on 20, 30 pounds of muscle, refuses to get pushed around by Samoa Joe. And that's kind of the story of the match where it's like, nah, I'm not going to let you bully me anymore. I'm not a 19-20 year old kid anymore. I'm the world champion, and you're going to try to do your Samoa Joe, you know, big time me stuff, and I'm going to come back and form you right in the jaw as hard as you form me. It's a very cool story, and he was great, and you would love it, especially if you loved the 2004 match so much, because it is kind of this almost evolution where it's like, now he's one of the big boys now, and it's going to be a very different story, and Joe is still Joe. So it's like, you know, he's coming in like he's gonna wreck shop, and Jay's like, nah, not you know, little brother's not that little anymore.
Yeah, see, I love that time period of ROH because AJ comes back in, and he's eventually gonna lose to Jay Lethal. It's like the young guys from years before who were great and still able to have good matches with those guys are now able to come into their own, mature, and beat Samoa Joe and AJ Styles when they lost to them many, many years earlier, or would have lost them many years earlier. So I kind of like the period, plus the New Japan stuff when Okada and Nakamura come in, and even they have a good tag match against the Briscoes. Like, I like that period of ROH because it's like, wow, the guys like Briscoe is starting to take over, and I really enjoyed that period. And I don't think a lot of people saw it, unfortunately.
No, I mean, I hadn't seen a lot of that stuff either. Like, a lot of it was stuff that I watched over the course of, you know, a couple days, you know, between Tuesday and Saturday when I ran my piece, where I just was like, you know, chewing footage. And like, all right, let me watch a ton of stuff and find some stuff that I hadn't seen. You know, I'd remembered the Wildside match. I'd remembered the FIP match. rewatched them, obviously, with the name, but this other, all the other ones in there were like, I'm just going to see some stuff I haven't seen. See if I haven't heard of it, that means it's probably pretty obscure. So yeah. It will count for this column.
Yeah, if you hadn't seen it or heard of it, that's crazy.
Who spends more time watching wrestling than me? It's a weird hill to die on, but it's my hill.
So we'll wind it down here. We'll head towards the finish of this tribute. Jay Briscoe, I'll probably talk about wrestling with you all day, but you know, you've got stuff to do, and I don't want to keep you too long, but this has been awesome to get you on. Just give me like your thoughts on what you think the legacy of Jay Briscoe was, because to me, one of the guys that I wish was on TV or wish was in a major promotion, because he was one of the best. To me, I'm a Dem Boys mark, so I'm a big fan of Dem Boys, but to me, one of the best.
Yeah, and I think he's going to go down as the greatest ROH wrestler of all time. I think he's got that now. Obviously, being a guy who was there from the very first match to all the way through the start of the Tony Khan ROH era, you know, never left really. You know, was there the whole time, and basically, and then the two-time champion, and you know, and there's something. I agree with you. It would have been great to see those guys on TV, but there's something. You know, I'm an old like punk rock kid at heart, and there's something about the guys that who are just great on their own terms, right? I mean, I'm sure the Briscoes would have been happy to have the paycheck that a WWE run or an AEW run would have provided them, but you know, it's something cool about guys just like, you know what, we're the last outlaws, we're just going to be, you know, in our own world, we're going to go to Japan, we're going to go to Mexico, we're going to work this indie, we're going to work that indie, we're going to work ROH, and we're going to do great things on our own terms. And there's something really cool about that, you know, kind of like that last outlaw mode, right? I mean, I think they really were that the one guys from that era who never did end up, you know, on TV, right? You know, Key was on, you know, Key was Cabal, on WWE Cabal, right? Danielson obviously went on with his huge career. Hero was in NXT for a long time. You know, Claudio's gone on to his thing, and AJ Styles obviously has done, you know, was been the WWE forever, and you know, those guys were the one guys who were like, now we're not for whatever reason ever signed to the major label, but you know, have a legacy, an independent, self-created legacy all their own, right? Those guys never did you never saw them doing comedy sketches and, you know, with the Bushwhackers on a Raw anniversary show or whatever, right? They were just, they were going to do their own, play their own tune. So I think that, you know, that's a cool legacy to have, right? I obviously, you know, like I said, I'm not going to begrudge anyone to make a living from things. But I think that's probably his legacy, is kind of the last outlaw, right? Because, I mean, it's funny, right? Mark's on AEW TV tomorrow. So he's going to not, you know, that's Mark isn't going to be the guy who never ends up on national television, right? Like, it's kind of going to be Jay. And, you know, so maybe I think that's a cool legacy to have. And obviously, like I said, a complete savant who could really do anything in a wrestling ring, any of the roles. There's not a role that he couldn't play, right? He could be Ricky Morton. He could be Ole Anderson. He could be, Buzz Sawyer. He could be Misawa. He could be Ric Flair, right? Like, it's just like, what? There's not a thing. There's not, you put Jay Briscoe, you have him play a role. He could do that at any level. And, you know, that was the thing. We were watching all the stuff that really stuck out to me. He's going to do anything. Could do everything. He could do anything, which is, you know, that's pretty cool. Especially, you know, you didn't necessarily think when I was seeing him at 17 years old in CZW, like, okay, this is going to be one of the most versatile and talented wrestlers of the lot next 20 years. But, you know, that's what he ended up being.
And by all accounts, great guy, great family man, super nice.
His daughters and his son are going to be his legacy too. Right. I mean, that's going to be part of it. Right. That's going to be, you know, for all intents, a great dad and an incredible family man. And you know, I'm sure the best any of us can hope for is to be remembered like that. So,
in my brief interactions with him, like, what a cool guy, what a funny guy, sweetheart of a guy, but also had that like quirkiness about him. You're like, I don't know if you want to mess with this guy either. You know what I mean? You don't want to take any jokes too far because he's pretty damn tough too. So to me, one of those guys is just like I always like, almost like the Steiner brothers, where it's like so cool, so awesome. You could joke with him, you can prank with him, but don't push him too far because they could kill you. You know what I mean? Like, he's a tough guy too. And you know, he's one of them boys. You don't want to mess with a guy like that for sure.
Right, for sure.
But Phil, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate all the time talking about Jay Briscoe. Obviously, RIP to Jay Briscoe.
You're one of the greats. It was a
leadership, Ring of Honor, the National Wrestling Alliance. Oh, Nicholas and Jay Briscoe, NWA World Heavyweight Champion, sending Jay Briscoe in. Oh, and this is where the numbers catch up. Oh, Nick. Ducks the clothesline, and the world champion, the NWA world champion, delivering big rights on Mark Briscoe, sets him out of the corner. But Jay Briscoe, like a pack of rabid animals, the Briscoes, they feel they have a gripe, they feel they were unfairly disqualified at the Crockett Cup, and just choking out Colt Cabana. The Briscoes. Oh, just... Oh, God! And the Briscoes, after losing the Ring of Honor World Tag Team title match in the Honor Club exclusive, after being disqualified at Crockett Cup, they feel like they have been overlooked and screwed out of opportunities here.
Right now is a former two-time Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion, a former IWGP World Tag Team Champion, as well as a former 11-time ROH World Tag Team Champion, as well as a current Tag Team Champion. He is, of course, the legendary Jay Briscoe. Jay, welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. And Mark is actually in the house as well.
Oh, I didn't know he'd be here. Awesome. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, what's going on, my man?
All right, awesome stuff. And obviously, talking to you guys today because ROH is a huge show coming up, Honor for All, on 8/25 in Nashville, Tennessee, the Tennessee State Fairgrounds. What do you think about this show, defending the tag titles against the legendary Rock and Roll Express?
Hey, man, it's going to be awesome. I mean, we already wrestled them once this year at the Crockett Cup, and I thought it was a hell of a match. You know, them boys put up more of a fight than we expected. So I'm sure this time with the titles online, it's going to be even better. And, you know, we're just going to do what we do, and it's going to be showtime Sunday night.
What did you think about when you wrestled them the first time? Because they could still go.
They could still go. Yes, sir. We started the match off. You know, we talked a little trash to them. Next thing I know, they kicked me in the nuts. They double drop kicked Mark, and here they came. So it's going to be, you know, I mean, we're going to have to be ready for that. And, yeah, they the Rock and Roll Express, man.
Let me put it like this. They about got us last time because I didn't think they could still go. I saw them boys out there cricking around before the show, and I ain't think they still had it in them. But once that music hit, once them people started getting live, and once that adrenaline started pumping, them boys was firing on all cylinders. And good lord, yeah, hey, we going to be ready this time.
Now, you're not going to be taking it easy on them or anything like that, are you?
Oh, hell no. We don't even know how to do that.
I've been watching you guys for a long time, since basically 2002 when you guys started in Ring of Honor is kind of when I started following you. But what is it like now? Because that was, you know, the Murphy Rec Center, that was Philadelphia. Now you guys have expanded all over the place, and now you're, you know, almost closing down arenas. You know, you're closing down the fairgrounds here in Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we just keep it rolling, man. It's 2019, you know, and obviously, you know, we had a lot of guys that left, and, you know, more power to them, man. It's all good, but we're still here doing our thing, and we're going to keep doing what we do.
Time marches on, brother. Time marches on.
Now, what is it about you guys that you guys have been so loyal to Ring of Honor for the last 17 years? You know, you've been the mainstays. Like you said, guys come and go, but you guys are the rocks of Ring of Honor.
Well, I mean, I just don't see you know, going elsewhere, if we went elsewhere, I don't know if we'd still have the same opportunities that we do in Ring of Honor. You know, we've had, over the years, we've had wrestled the best tag teams. You know, they've come and gone. You know, they're still here. Whoever it may be, man, it seems like we get the best matches in Ring of Honor, man. And so we're here, and you know, they know what we want. We want big matches. We want big-time competition, and that's what we get.
So what do you think about the state of Ring of Honor right now in 2019? Obviously, you know, the Bullet Club left and the Bucks are gone, and you guys had kind of revamped the roster. Obviously, the Briscoes are still there, which is awesome. But what do you think about the roster right now and the state of Ring of Honor?
Well, the roster, I think, I honestly feel top to bottom the roster is stronger than ever. The thing is just, you know, adapting to just the changes, man. And it's because we are a television show. We work for a television company, you know, Sinclair Broadcasting, and they do a TV show every week that we have to do. But it's, you know, it's starting to evolve, man. Like, back in the day, we would run, you know, these big long TV tapings, and they take 4 hours long to do. And you know, we're starting to get out of that. We're starting to evolve, you know, the whole entire product, man. And now it feels like we're getting more back to, you know, how you say it, just the grassroots of things, and just kind of taking it back to having the atmosphere. The atmosphere of the show is what we're focusing on right now. You know, especially us, when we come out there, we're going to create an atmosphere, an environment like nobody else can. You know, at least try to anyway, and so that's what we're going for at the moment.
When a lot of the guys left, at first it was almost like we didn't know what we had going forward, and then a couple shows in, we realized what was going down. We kind of all got in a group huddle, and we said, you know, what do we got to do? What does this company got to do at this point? We done lost a lot of guys that a lot of people were buying tickets to come see, but basically. We've revamped the TV product just like Jay was talking. We were airing. I remember back in we lost the belts to the PCO and Brody King back in March, and 2 weeks later on TV we still had the belts. So everybody involved realized that that was a problem. The two different timelines of Ring of Honor is now becoming just one solid timeline with this new TV format. And we might have to make some tweaks and whatnot, but for the state of Ring of Honor right now, I think anybody and everybody who is a naysayer, who is sleeping on the product right now, I think that they're going to be, they're going to have some egg on their face when it's all said and done, because the group of guys we got right now can go above and beyond any other group of guys in professional wrestling.
Hey, the action speaks for itself, man.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? The action speaks for itself, and it just, you know, just presenting the action in the right way is what we're going for. You know what I mean? And that's what we're doing. It's what we're trying to do, and we're getting there. You know, it's obviously, you know, you got to work the tweaks out, but, you know, we're getting it figured out.
Now, you guys are somewhat of locker room leaders. You've been there for 17 years. What is the state of the locker room behind the scenes? Everybody confident? Everybody kind of very, you know, positive going forward?
Well, I mean, we feel like we have something to prove, you know, like everybody's it's to the point where, you know, it's 2019 and everybody likes to complain about something. Everybody likes to hate on something and people think it's cool. Right? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
right
absolutely.
Now for,
yep.
You know, we're just kind of, we're kind of the, you know, the scapegoat, so to speak, you know?
I think one way to put it is we're a victim. I don't know how many of y'all read that book, 1984, but we're a victim of groupthink. You know what I mean? Everybody says not everybody, but if anybody says Ring of Honor's product is subpar, then 20 other people are going to chime in because they saw that person got 20 likes because they said that, and they got 20 retweets because they said that, and they ain't even seen the product.
And yeah, that's the thing, man. Like watch the product. Like, seriously, like right now, man, like these shows this weekend, Saturday in Atlanta, Sunday in Nashville, I guarantee you they're going to be fire. We're going to go out there, the whole locker room, we're going to bust our ass, and it's going to be fire, man. And the people, you know, if they won't even watch it, and they're going to hate on it. But, like, tune in and be honest about it. Like, don't worry about what other people say. Like, actually watch this shit and tell me you're not entertained, and I'm going to tell you a damn lie.
Are you guys the locker room leaders? I know I kind of said it and we're alluding it. Are you guys the locker room leaders of Ring of Honor?
I mean, we've been here forever, you know what I mean? And seen them come, seen them go, you know what I mean? But, I mean, it, you know, we're always been a group, you know. We've always had our group of leaders. But, I mean, you know, you can call us whatever you want, man. But, I mean, yeah, I guess kind of in a way, maybe so. But,
Why not? You know what I mean? Why not? We've been there. We've been here longer than anybody. We've seen everybody come, everybody go. And the group we got right now is so incredibly strong. I mean, there's other guys, of course, you know, it goes without saying, Jay Lethal. You know what I mean? Kenny King's been here for a minute. Like, there are other guys. But, yeah, sure. We up there.
I mean, yeah, we're going to do what we have to do, man, to – you know, keep this shit rolling.
What are your guys' thoughts on AEW coming around and that kind of being the hot topic right now? That's, you know, on a lot of people's minds and everyone's saying, oh, AEW this and AEW that. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's awesome, man. I think AEW is great for especially the wrestlers. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously we got, you know, you got more options when it comes to wrestling. You got, you know, everybody, and the thing is, they're making everybody step their game up. And I think that's the main thing, man. Like, it seems like all promotions everywhere is stepping their game up. And I mean, like, it's gonna come a point where, you know, the cream gonna rise, man. Like, we're gonna see how everything works out once the TV starts and all that stuff. But I mean, you know, at some point, you got to get between the ropes and you're going to ring the bell and the match is going to start and you got to get down. You know what I'm saying? This is pro wrestling. And at the end of the day, you're going to have a match. So, I mean, you know, what they're doing is awesome. But at the end of the day, you have to get in the ring and the bell got to ring and the match got to start, baby. So we're going to see.
Definitely something to keep your eye on. Definitely something to kind of look forward to. I feel like you're right. If one promotion is, you know, building itself up, it kind of rises all the ships, right? I mean, maybe everyone can step up their game and rise.
Rise the tide, rise all ships. You know, and that's the thing, man. Like, I feel like people, like 2019, man, I mean, I feel like this has been, you know, this has been a year for us where we've had, you know, some big-time matches, man, been doing some big-time shit, and it's different now because now I feel like we have, you know, they're giving us the ball to run with, so to speak. You know, now, you know, kind of being the top guys once again. And we're doing things. I mean, it's different, man. Like, we're a TV company, but we tell the people, or we talk to the people who produce the TV, and they tell us, you know, well, if you guys are going to bleed out there, we can't put that on television. But then we have to, you know, we think about it. And, you know, we have Honor Club now. So would it make more sense to, you know, sacrifice the match not being able to be on TV, but still it's on Honor Club? You know, like we, you know, it's a tough spot we're in, but it's not really that tough. Like, I feel like we can do what we want to do more, and we're doing what we do. We're showing, you know, a different –
now that we got this, now that we're starting to now that we're starting to close up these two timelines of Ring of Honor, where we had the TV timeline and we had the live event / Honor Club timeline, now that that's becoming one thing with a new TV format, which I can't stress how huge this is, but like, now that that's the case, like, people are going to be able to see this product for what it actually is. Like, I told some of the guys up top, and I know you asked about the 2019, the state of wrestling, but just for Ring of Honor in general, like, we making this turn right here and right now, because I told the people all the way up top that this, like, the TV product up until recently, they weren't showing the best of what we had. They weren't showing what Ring of Honor truly was all about, because there was times when people were watching on TV a tired crowd that had been there for 4 hours, and it just didn't translate. Well, it translated exactly what it was, a tired crowd that had been watching wrestling for 4 or 5 hours. But now, you know what I mean? That was a significant problem. And we, the wrestlers, talked to the Sinclair Broadcasting higher ups and made them realize, we told them, like, this cannot fly. This, and now, so here we go.
It's all about the atmosphere, man, creating the atmosphere. It's the atmosphere of the show, man. Like, you got to be there. You know what I mean? You got to be there. I mean, nobody wants to sit through a damn four-hour-long show with a whole bunch of breaks in between, man. Let's keep that shit flowing. Let's get the wrestlers in the ring, show them what we can do, get in, get out, and keep the show flowing, and let's have a damn hell of a show.
And you guys always put on great shows, always have great matches. And right now, basically embittered in this big feud with the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, what's it been like working with those guys? I mean, you guys had some bloody wars going on.
Oh, man, it's awesome. I love it. Like, they are the style, you know what I mean? Like, we've wrestled so many different tag teams.
Perfect compliment.
But they, you know what I mean, it's perfect. Briscoes versus the Tongas, man. I mean, we just go to war. We just fight each other. You know, we really go out there and fight each other. You know what I mean?
When they first started teaming a couple years ago in New Japan, which was when they had won their first IWGP tag titles, and that's also when we won our first IWGP tag titles, beating them. It was a thing in Japan at the time. They were a fresh team. We were fresh faces over there. But I remember at the time saying to myself, I told Jay and I told my dad, I said, if we ever get to do this thing on U.S. soil, then it's going to be huge. And shoot, here we are, man. And it's some of my favorite – one of my favorite programs that we've had in 20 years now of wrestling, you know?
Seems like you guys are a great match for each other because both hard-hitting, you know, stiff, snug, strong style. I just, you know, love the feud because you guys are so intense.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the style, man, and that's, you know, that's what's kind of different about what's going on now. Like, now I feel like, I mean, don't get me wrong, we can get down however you want to get down. You know, we can wrestle with anybody, and we kind of pride ourselves on that, and thank God for the ability to be able to get down with anybody. But if we got to choose the type of match that we wanted to have, it's going to be a brawl. You know what I mean? It's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. Ain't going to be nothing fancy about it, and that's what we've been able to do with these guys.
And you mentioned beating the Gorillas of Destiny for the IWGP tag titles in Japan and bringing it over to the States. Are you guys still associated with New Japan? Are you still working with New Japan? Are we going to see the Briscoes back in Japan?
Hey, they got a number, man.
Yeah, they got a number. We'll see what happens. You know, it's – I mean, it is what it is, man. I feel like – you know, we've worked with New Japan for so long, and but at some point, man, the matches have to mean something. You know what I mean? And the shit has to mean something or people don't care. And, you know, with New Japan coming over to America, you know, you can't blame them for wanting to do their own thing. But, I mean, you know, we still got a little bit going on, and like, if the matches don't mean nothing, then there ain't no point to do it. So, you know, what we're doing with the Gorillas, what we did with the Gorillas, I feel like that is, you know, that's what we're looking for, man. Like, nobody wants to see a match that really don't mean shit. You know what I mean? Let's get a story behind this shit. Let's get people invested, and let's give the people what they want to see. Two people talking shit, and then they settle it in the ring.
I totally agree. You got to have some stakes. You know what I mean? You got to be totally invested in the guy.
It got to mean something, man. Like, yeah. if it don't mean nothing, like, who cares?
Yeah, it's got to be important. It's got to mean something. And, you know, when you're fighting the Gorillas of Destiny, it's like you guys really, really hate each other. And it's just going to be these four guys, these two brother teams just going at it.
I mean, that's really all it has to be.
That's all we really want to do.
You know, like, why overcomplicate the shit? Let's just, you know, we don't like y'all. Y'all don't like us. Let's fight about it.
Is there any kind of underestimated teams right now? I mean, Gorilla Destiny, obviously not underestimated. They're great. But there's any underestimated teams in Ring of Honor that are out there that are going to come up and you're going to say, man, these guys are better than people are giving them credit for?
I tell you who, and they're not underestimated wrestlers whatsoever. But as a team, I've seen Jay Lethal and John Gresham team up here a couple times over the last, you know, 6 months or so. And these guys got some chemistry that I wasn't expecting.
And also I would say PCO and Brody Lee, man, Villain Enterprises.
Brody King.
Brody King, I'm sorry. we've wrestled those guys three times now. We've never beat them yet. So, I mean, that's always like we just, you know, we got to wrestle them again. We got to beat these dudes. I mean, it's always, you know, these dudes is good. These dudes just showed up. They came in here and they took our titles first match. Next two matches was ended in no contest, man. But, I mean, they're definitely a team that we like to get down with.
Man, 11-time tag champs and haven't gotten the win over the Villain Enterprises. That's something to think about, huh?
It is something to think about.
You know what's awesome about you guys? I mean, it's been around forever. We mentioned 2002. And you know, I go as far back as, obviously, the Era of Honor Begins when Jay fought Red. But I'm thinking Honor invades Boston when Mark, you beat Jay in that match. And that was kind of my first real exposure to you guys wrestling. I was like, man, these guys are unbelievable at such a young age.
Well, thank you.
Well, I mean, you figure we were, what, 17 and 18 at the time, but we've been wrestling each other in the backyard since we were
7 and 8.
Yeah, you know, for 10 years, man. So, I mean, we've been, so we did the CZW Best of the Best back in 01.
Oh, yeah.
First time we ever wrestled each other. And, I mean, of course, you know, we wrestle each other. We've been wrestling each other our whole lives. So
shoot, man, we got some backyard footage, some old VHS tapes that we need to figure out how to download them into digital. Cause we got some good footage from back on the trampoline, back in the backyard at mom and dad's house. Shoot, man,
that is awesome. And I remember when you guys busted in the scene, like you said, Best of the Best in CZW. You guys had the best match on that show too. It's just like, man, like these guys are so young and so good at such an early age. I mean, kind of unheard of. Usually guys go through some growing pains, and when they're young, you kind of look back like, man, these guys were rough at the start, but not you guys.
I don't know, man. When I go back and look at that shit, I think I suck. But
I know that.
But, I mean, you know, shit, 20 years later, I feel like I kind of halfway know what I'm doing now, so.
Yeah, just awesome, man. Just to think – then that first anniversary show where you kind of get that win back over Mark, that's an awesome match. And then you guys form the team, and you guys become the Briscoe Brothers. Was that kind of an interesting way to start? Because usually you figure you guys would start first and then feud. But ROH and Gabe, I guess at the time, they kind of started it differently. You feuded first, and then you formed the team.
Yeah. I mean, cool. Yeah, you know, it was different, but it was cool. And I can't even really remember back then. That was a long time ago, brother. But, yeah, it was, you know, it was a cool way to do it. I mean, but, yeah, I mean, shit, that was a long time ago, bro.
Yeah, 17 years ago. I mean, whew. And you guys have been through the wars and wrestled so many guys kind of along the way. And I even remember, Jay, one of my favorite matches that you had versus Samoa Joe at Our Best cage match. You were bleeding pretty damn bad in that match. I was there live. Just awesome, awesome match. Great memory for me.
Brother, that was a something, man. Like, I didn't know at the time. Like, man, I remember just bleeding and, like, my blood was clotting up. And apparently it's called coagulating, whatever the hell that means. And I still don't hardly know what it means. But at the time, dude, at the time, I thought my damn brains was coming out my head, man.
That was pretty gross, and if I remember correctly, you're right, coagulation or whatever, the coagulating of the blood, and it came out looking gross. Were you, you know, were you okay? Were you, you know, do you have your wits about you during that?
Well, I mean, I kind of started losing it a little bit, you know what I mean? Just instinct kind of took over.
Best story of the night, though, was, because that was at the Rex place.
Yeah,
and I remember that. Somebody sitting on the top row of the bleachers there, they fainted. Like, they got so, you know what I mean? That blood.
Got so wigged out.
Yeah, so wigged out that they fainted, fell off the bleachers, busted their head, and the paramedics had to come get them.
That is true. That was kind of a surreal thing. They, you know, got so scared or grossed out or whatever from Jay that you know, they kind of ended up being, you know, equally as banged up.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was a rough night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just some good stuff. But, you know, with you guys, if you go back and you think about even that first title win, I don't know how well you remember, but you beat Special K. You guys win the ROH tag titles. At that point, was that something real special? Because ROH
was so hot at that point, and you guys were kind of just coming into your own. Was it kind of special to be tag champs, or is that one of those things where the fans, it means more to us than it means to you guys?
Let me be honest with you. It was cool. It was absolutely cool. But I was still mad that we didn't pick up the win against Red and AJ. Because if you remember correctly, we had that series of matches with Red and AJ Styles.
Yes.
And they were champs all the way through, and we could never get them. That's when I wanted to get them belts. But, yeah, it was nice once we picked them up with old Jim Cornette.
Having Jim Cornette with us, man, it was special.
You're right. They never let you beat AJ and Red, who were teaming for a while and were tag champs for a little while. And, you know, they end up losing, and then you guys end up beating Special K. It's weird that they didn't kind of match you guys back up again, and, you know, you guys get your win back, so to speak.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on – you mentioned, obviously, Cornette was your manager at the point. What's your thoughts on old Jimmy Cornette? He seems to be lighting up Twitter and lighting up social media with all the haters.
Oh, man, I don't – we're not real big on social media, man, but I just know I love Jim Cornette, and I think he's a very passionate man. He loves this business. He's very passionate about this business. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly everything that's going on with him, but, you know, Jim, my boy, man. Let me tell you this. Jim is not only extremely passionate about this business, but Jim is one of the smartest dudes that you've ever, smartest dude you've ever met. He's getting reactions from people that he's doing it, and they probably think that he's upset. You ain't going to get Jim Cornette out of his element. Like, Jim's just chilling, and he's getting pops and getting heat and getting reactions. I mean, you know, Jim's awesome. Nothing bad to say about Jim. He's a man.
Absolutely love him. Just talked to him the other day. He's a great guy. He's just he definitely gets upset.
I mean, he's a wall man.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely not. And thinking about you guys, obviously great tag team, but so different in style. You know, you got the redneck Mark, you got the redneck Kung Fu. Jay, you're much more, you know, strong style based, a little bit more of a brawler. Mark can do some high flying. What is it about you guys? Like, you each kind of like that to adapt almost a different style and then mesh it together?
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, we each know each other. It's almost like we know each other more than we know ourselves, you know what I mean? And if Mark's doing something that I don't agree with, I'm like, man, you know what? I think that shit looks stupid. And he'll tell me the same thing. So we kind of bounce off each other like that. You know, you kind of got to be brutally honest with each other. You know, I feel like that's when the best of ourselves come out, when we can really sit there and be like, Mark, man, that shit was stupid. Or Jay, I don't know why the hell you thought that'd be a good idea. You know, whatever it may be. But we, you know, we don't hold nothing back. Shit. There's no reason to hold nothing back. Like, why would we? So we don't.
And Mark, you know, what are your thoughts on the chemistry with your brother there?
Oh, yeah, geez, I think it's so natural, and it's so effortless, because, you know, just like we've been saying, we been wrestling. Well, first we was fighting each other before we even knew what wrestling was when we was toddlers. But then, you know, he's not quite a year older than me, 1 week shy of a year. So we're what they call Irish twins. But yeah, so once we start our pro wrestling careers on the trampoline in the backyard at the age of 7 and 8, you know what I mean? Like, we already know. And, like, we start to learn and we start to realize, okay, this is, like, we're watching the same wrestling, but we're obviously taking something different from the same wrestling. He's sitting there being a tough guy, and I'm sitting there being a crazy guy. You know what I mean? He's being Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I'm being Sabu. And then it just continues to evolve, and then we start our professional careers. And it's just, like, it's so natural. It, like, we don't even have to talk about it half the time. But like Jay said, when we do talk about it, we're brutally honest. We get fussing and fighting and hollering and cussing at each other sometimes. But it always, you know, once he tells me something that I don't want to hear, and I'll cuss him out. And then once we get separated and he goes back to his house, I go back to my house, I get thinking about what he said. And I'm like, damn, you know what? He got a point there. And I'm sure it's the same way the other way around. So it's effortless, man. Like, well, I don't want to say effortless, but it's all but effortless.
It is what it is.
Now, do you guys obviously, I mean, you're your team more than your singles, but Jay, former two-time world champion, do you guys really prefer rather to be a tag team? Or is it something on your mind as far as maybe getting back into the singles and maybe Mark maybe actually getting that Ring of Honor world title?
Damn right. See, my thing is, every time that they put us in tag for a long time, I'm like, yeah, damn right. But then when we have singles matches, you know, scattered here and there, I'm like, man, I love singles matches. But then if they have us doing singles matches for an extended period of time, I'm like, okay, this is cool. But then we have a tag. I'm like, dang on, I love tag matches. So, it's tit for tat, but, you know, we're a natural.
Hey, man, as far as I'm concerned, man, I'm going to do whatever needs done. You know what I mean? We needed somebody to beat Kevin Steen for the world title, however many years ago it was. They're like, Jay, we think you the man. I was like, well, let's go, baby. So, I mean, but obviously tag team is what we do. But, I mean, it's shit, if I got to get down in singles, then let's get down.
Yeah, you beat Steen for the world title. It was a pretty big moment. He was basically undefeated for a year, and you end up beating him. And that was a pretty big moment. That kind of it brought ROH a little bit out of the doldrums. No offense to Steen, when he was champ, it was a little bit on the downturn, but you kind of brought it back up, kind of create some controversy, beating him after his undefeated streak.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, the people thought I was the man for the job, so I said, yeah, well, you know, they asked me if I thought I was the man for the job, and I said, why not, man? You know, I mean, shit, why not? Let's do this shit.
Now, what happened with that? I mean, basically only champ for a short period of time. Obviously, you know, you beat Adam Cole, you beat Hardy, but then they kind of have an injury angle. But was the contract up? Were you really injured? Because you end up getting stripped of the title at one point.
Yeah, you know, it was a it was a whole little thing, man. We were talking with some other companies, you know what I mean? And we were kind of up in the air at the moment, and we thought we might be moving on elsewhere, and then decided that might not be the best thing to do. So it was, you know, it was what it was, man. But I mean, I don't know. You know, I kind of put out a dumb tweet. You know, and that kind of, you know, that kind of affected things a little bit. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think it all worked out just the way it's supposed to.
And kind of Ring of Honor is your home, right? I mean, you kind of, you know, you're thinking about testing the waters, maybe leaving, but Ring of Honor ultimately is your home.
I mean, you know, like this place, you know what I mean? We've been here for so long, and we know so many people in this company, man. Like, not only the wrestlers, like the production people, man, like everybody, man, like it's a family. And I don't know, man, I just kind of feel some kind of way, you know, just up and leaving, you know what I mean? Like, no offense to nobody that has done that. I mean, more power to them, whatever they want to do. But for me personally, man, I just feel like, you know, these my people, this my place, and I'm gonna sit right here as long as I can sit here.
And I love you come back a few months later with that real world belt, and it was like a kind of a cool kind of camo to it. And is that something you've made on your own, or is that something that's your creation?
They Ring of Honor had that already made for me, and right after we signed the contract, you know, it was kind of up in the air if we were going to sign or not. And we signed the contract, and then they're like, you know what, let's show them. We signed the contract, and they showed us, Jay, this is what we're doing with you. We're going to run with this right now. You just signed the contract. We want you to do this right now, so go ahead and run with it, and that's what we did.
And that's when I was like, this is some bullshit. Where's my cool signing bonus?
There's a signing bonus, man.
Mark, what's up with that, Mark? How come, he's getting the preferential treatment here?
I don't know, man. Hey, it's all good. You know, somebody got carried a load. You know, somebody got be pretty, and then somebody got carried a load. So, you know, it's all good. You know, I'm happy to be the guy to carry the load. You know what I mean? Back in the day, back in the Bible, man, who used to actually carry the stuff from one point to another? They go on journeys for days and weeks, and who would actually carry the stuff? The donkey. Hey, that's me, baby, the workhorse, the donkey. And, yep, then we got this beautiful jackass right here that's getting these custom-made belts and shit.
That is great. You guys, you know, still on the farm, right? You guys still do the chicken farming and still do that stuff?
That's the beautiful part about Ring of Honor, man. Like the schedule, you know, we got a good schedule, but we still are able to be home and do what we got to do here. I mean, not what we got to do, what we choose to do, you know. I mean, shit, there's more than one way to skin a cat when it comes to getting money. And, you know, we that's what we do.
It is awesome to kind of think, like, you know, obviously you're wrestlers kind of first and foremost, but you do stuff on your own. I mean, chicken farming, you probably make a good living doing that. And Ring of Honor has that flexibility where you can kind of do that and you don't have to worry about, oh, I got to be on the road 24/7 or I got to travel 300 days a year.
Well, that's the thing, man. And plus, I mean, the style that we wrestle at, I feel like the way we get down, man, I mean, my body, I know I speak for Mark when I'm talking, like our bodies, you know what I mean? Like when we go out there, we're going to wrestle like it's our last match. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to put it all out there. You're going to get everything that we got, and we're going to be hurting for a few days afterwards, man, because we're going to leave it all out there like that, and people can say, oh, that's a stupid way to wrestle. Man, hell with them people. We're going to do what we do. We leave it out in the ring, and that's just what we do, man.
Think about you guys, really. I mean, Ring of Honor in the mid-2000s, it was at its hottest. It was basically really, you know, the smart fans or the real diehard fans. That was the number one promotion. Everyone loved Ring of Honor, and you guys were right in the middle of it. Now we're in 2019. You said you're revamping, you're changing things up, and the Briscoes are right in the middle of it all over again. Pretty cool, and it's kind of almost full circle.
I mean, it kind of is, you know what I mean? And it's a blessing, man, to be able to still do it at this level, man. And, like I was talking about the bodies, you know, kind of wearing down. I mean, shit, they ain't wore down too much that we can't keep doing, you know, what we're doing right now. And it seems like, you know, the older you get, the more, I don't know, man. Like we were talking earlier about the CZW best of the best when we wrestled each other and how I wasn't a fan of it, you know, looking back because we know what the hell we were doing. But, man, I feel like right now we kind of know kind of halfway a little bit what we're doing out there. And that is to go down there and create an atmosphere like no other tag team can. All right? When the Briscoes is down there, the shit going to get wild. You don't know what the hell going to happen. And that's how we want it to be.
Kind of has that old school flavor, you know, Brody or Abdullah Butcher. It's that old school flavor. It creates a Hanson, creates that atmosphere like, what the hell is going to happen next with
what
these
the hell's
guys?
Going to happen? And that's all we can ask for. Yes, sir. Come down there swinging that chain. You don't know if you're going to take somebody's head off or not. Brody is you. Boy, Bruiser Brody is Stan Hansen, Terry Funk, Dory Funk Jr. back, man. All the chain. That's what, like, from there to the true blue ECW late 90s, early mid 90s, like, that's what we about, man.
I love it. Unpredictable, crazy style, but so good in the ring, great workers too. I mean, you guys are basically, you know, complete package. There's nothing you guys can't do.
I appreciate that, man. And that's, again, that's what we pride ourselves on, man, being able to get down with whoever want to get down.
Now, as we head towards the wind down, we head towards the finish line, I got to ask you guys, what do you think is the biggest misconception about the Briscoe brothers?
Probably that we're racist and homophobic. I mean, shit, hey, look, I got more black friends than I do white friends, and believe it or not, I got friends that's gay, all right? Hey, believe it or not, man, I mean, I just, you know, I believe in the Word of God, I believe in the Bible, all right? And that's, you know, we can take that how it is. I mean, we'd be here all day discussing that, man, but I got friends that's gay, I got friends that's black, man, we both do, and that's, I mean, you know, we can't get a bad rap for it, people want to judge us and but man, they don't know us, man. They don't know what we do. They don't know how we live our lives. They don't know shit about us. And
it's all love, man. Like people, man. And it would be funny if it you know what I mean, if it wasn't so serious in this day and age. But the word bigot, like, oh, that bigots there, oh, hate them, don't follow them, don't watch them. Man, come on, man. Like, seriously, man. Like, you can't be in the professional wrestling for 20 years and hate gay people and get anywhere. Like, that's not a thing. Like, come on, man. Like,
yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know, and people going to think what they think and they want judges. I mean, but seriously, man, they don't know nothing about us, man. It's all love, man.
Now, you guys, literally, I mean, I'm not going to name all the tag teams because it would probably take me all day, but, man, you guys wrestled every tag team Ring of Honor had, and they had so many good ones.
So many.
I mean, oh, my God, the list is – I could literally go on forever and name all the awesome tag teams. But do you guys have some favorite matches looking back, if you could think of a couple?
I mean, obviously, man, I would say Steen and Generico was one hell of a feud. We did, you know, we did a few matches with them boys, man, and every match was just, it was just, I mean, there was something about it. Like, them boys wanted it, we wanted it. Like, it was just, you know, it was magic, man. Like, I feel like we, back in 07, I felt like we captured lightning in a bottle, so to speak.
Yeah. Like, that's a good way to put it.
And,
shoot, I tell you what, down in Atlanta, Kenny King and Rhett Titus, man.
Yeah, man, it's hard to say, man, because I don't want to leave nobody out, to be honest with you, man. Like, we've had wars with the Young Bucks. I mean,
Kings of Wrestling.
Yeah, it's. I don't really want to get the list of names, man, because I don't want to leave nobody out. Because we've wrestled a lot of damn good tag teams.
I can give you a couple, if you don't mind. If you got 1 second,
hey,
I can give you a couple.
On.
Second City Saints, the Prophecy, the Rottweilers, Aries and Strong, Daniels and Seidel, Kenta Marafuji. Let's see, the American Wolves, No Remorse, course, Age of the Fall, Shingo and Dow, the Young Bucks, we said, the Motor City Machine Guns, SoCal Uncensored. I mean, there's Red Dragon, CNT. I mean, world's greatest tag team.
Good Lord.
A lot of them.
Man,
a lot.
Yes. Shit, yeah. And you just said so many names, and now, man, like, damn. Like, yes, every single one of them, man. God bless all them boys, man. Like, you know, we're just blessed to be able to do this, man, and get in the ring with the best tag teams. And, you know, they might go elsewhere, and we're still here, whatever it may be, man. But it is what it is, you
we're
know.
We're blessed to do what we love to do, man. We're blessed to do what we love to do.
Hey, it's all family, man. At the end of the day, we're a brotherhood, and everybody, you know. I mean, shit, you got to have somebody to dance with. You know what I mean? You can't go out there and do that shit by yourself. It got to be 2-on-2, man. You need a dance partner. You need an opponent, whatever the hell you want to call it. And we're just blessed to be able to do that for all these boys.
If you had a favorite opponent, would you guys pick each other as far as like a singles match? Would you pick each other?
I'd probably pick Jay Lethal.
Shoot, what, in the singles match? It ain't gonna be you, that's for sure.
Cause I whoop your ass.
Shit, you better get up out of here. Nah, he don't go. Jay don't go quite hard enough for me. I only wrestled PCO once in a single. But I thoroughly enjoyed that. But yeah, man, you know, I don't know.
Now, where do you see the Briscoe brothers in 5 years? Still in Ring of Honor? Still on the farm? Still in Sandy Fork? Where do you guys see the Briscoe brothers in 5 years?
Man.
5 years? My kid's going to be 5 years older, just like me.
Hey, mate, I'm going to have a 15-year-old. I'm going to have a kid damn near driving. I'm going to have a 15-year-old, 13-year-old, and a 11-year-old. So, I mean, shit if I know, man. I mean, shit. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing, whatever happens.
Hey, still paying these bills, hopefully.
Yeah,
so
oh, yeah.
We're going to be paying these bills.
And one final thing you can't forget, Honor for All, 8/25, the Tennessee State Fairgrounds in Nashville, Tennessee, ROH World Tag Team title match against the legendary, iconic Rock and Roll Express.
Ooh, yes, sir.
Now, give us some plugs. You know, do you want to promote maybe some of your social media? I know you guys aren't on there too much. Maybe some of your social media, Sinclair Broadcasting, Honor Clubs. Give us some plugs.
Well, shit, I mean, tune into the Sumbitch on Honor Club, and if you live in the Nashville area, come to the damn show, because I guarantee you that shit going to be hype. We going in there, I mean, shit, that's what we do. We go out there, we make this shit hype, and it's the Rock and Roll Express, so you know damn well it's going
to
be hype.
And send off this historic arena like it deserved to be sent off.
Hey, if you can't make it, watch on Honor Club, but, hey, just know we're going to be getting down, baby.
Awesome stuff, and I can finally say, now that we're closing down this interview, one of my favorite tag teams of all time. You guys are the best, and definitely the best the Ring of Honor's ever had. Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it, Dave, Mark. Really appreciate it, guys.
All right, no problem, man. Thanks.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.